Today, sitting down with Jacob from Fantasy Trash Talk, we are going to go through our industry pickup matchup from last week. It was a very close one, a lot of strategy. So we're going to chat about what we were each doing, what were our individual strategies, and he did get the best of me, but I'll remember for later in the season. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. You can find us on Twitter at FBI Basketball. We are also part of the Old Man Squad Network. Find them at Old Man Squad. Or hit up Dan Bespris. He loves talking to people at Dan Bespris. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, anywhere and everywhere. Please go rate, like, subscribe, do all of that stuff. A bit of an impromptu show. Thanks to Jacob for jogging my memory. Hoping to do one of these every week, just talking about industry pickup and my matchup from the previous week. Jacob, first time on the show. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Now, it was an interesting matchup, and we started getting into a conversation before we came on air, and I thought, no, let's take this to the show. It was very close, and there was a lot of strategy involved on, towards the end of the week on both of our parts. And as I said, I think I did a quick write-up, I don't know when it was, Sunday or something or Monday, and I talked about the fact that I was hoping that you weren't watching, but I figured you were because coming into that last day, I think you had Tobias Harris on the bench and you had, it was someone else who was playing an early game. I can't remember who it was. You had two guys that were in an early
Cam
game.
Johnson.
You had them on the bench, Cam Johnson. And I thought he's obviously got an eye on this because usually when you play in a fantasy matchup, especially in one like ours, so industry pickup has a games cap. So we have a limit of four games per position or 40 games for the week. And my mind in these sorts of leagues, always you just go, you look at games played, you go and you're balancing your roster and who can I play, who do I have to bench. And I was looking at your roster all week and I'm thinking, I'm way ahead in games played here, this is going to be good. And then it came to the last day, I went, actually no, this is bad because you reduced your games played to beat me in that turnover category. I'm assuming that was what your strategy was.
That was part of my strategy. I knew that I had to strategically bench players throughout the week to try to beat you in one of either field goal percentage or turnovers. Turns out that my team's nowhere near good enough field goal percentage to even come close. But there were moments where it was pretty close. But yeah, that was a strategy from the get-go. I think I benched Damian Lillard on Monday. Like I just went right from the start, mm-hmm. Trying to win one of those two categories.
Yeah, and I ended up getting because by the time I sort of I realized what you were doing, I tried my best. I was because I was at work, so the games here in Australia because of the time difference, all that sort of stuff. Those late games were starting at around 11:30 our time in the morning, and so I was actually out running a group for work. A play group with kids, and I had to set the alarm on my phone to jump onto Fantrax because you have to lock your lineup or lock your players 5 minutes before tip off on Fantrax. So I set my alarm for 7 minutes before tip off, and I was hoping that you would have left players in and I could quickly pull my players out. But by the time I got in there, I saw that you had basically taken your whole lineup out on that last day. And we were close in points, like relatively close. If I do have the box score here, so you ended up with 468 points. I ended up on 445, and I'm assuming that was potentially in the back of your mind a little bit as well. So if I had played all of my guys, you would have gone, because I think you left Kyrie in till really late, and you might have sort of left him in just to get you that bump in points as well.
Yeah, exactly. There was a moment where I was worried that you had a chance to catch me in points.
Yeah.
And that's what Kyrie was doing in there. And he's generally a lower turnover guy. So I figured there's a chance that he gets me like 15 or more points and like just one or two turnovers, and then I'm good. But then I realized that the guys that you had playing, I think it was like Dyson Daniels. I forgot who it was. Walker Kessler, Derek Lively. It was a bunch of guys who like really don't score points. And it was like 65 or 70 points. And I was like, there's just no way that those guys are going to combine for enough points to beat me. So I just benched everybody.
Yeah, I think my last two actually on that day from memory were Derek Lively and Jonathan Isaac. And I was looking at it and going, could Derek Lively just have this game of his life and score 40 points on like 18 of 22 shooting? But yeah, obviously it didn't happen. And Jonathan Isaac is basically almost a waste of space at this point with the minutes that he's playing. So I didn't get there. And as I said, you did end up beating me 5-4. But like I said in my write-up, this actually, I guess, kicked me in the gear a bit. And if we look at the stats, if we read down the categories that you won and the categories that I won, other than points, we weren't really close, which lines up with my build really well. So free throws, you beat me by 40. Free throw percentage, you beat me by like 13, 14%. Assists, you beat me by 80. So yeah. I was never going to challenge. I should have been watching those turnovers, because in theory, looking back, I could have probably played 30 games as well and still beaten you in blocks, steals, rebounds, and field goal percentage, and I would have won turnovers. So it was a bit of a wake-up call for me, so I appreciate that. I mean, any other thoughts on our matchup specifically?
Well, it's interesting. So this was probably the most interesting fantasy matchup that I've ever been through, because I've never faced a team that's so heavily punting four categories where, like, you really just had no shot in beating me in those four things.
No.
So I had to figure out what that fifth one was. And I'm just curious to see, like, as the season goes along, like, if you're able to continue to win 5-4, because a 4-5 loss sets you back pretty heavily, because I don't see how you win 6-3 basically ever this season, right? So a 5-4 loss is like pretty substantial. And I'm just curious to see, like, if anybody else is able to beat you.
Yeah, look, it's always risky. It is one of the obvious risks when you do a punt this hard. I'd have to go through my leagues, but I'm probably got a four category punt in, I think I'm in about 13 leagues. I would say in probably 8 of them. So I do it frequently. So I do know that you can win leagues doing it, but it's the bigger challenge is sometimes getting into the playoffs, because I'm not going to have those 7-2 wins or 8-1 or even 6-3, as you said. I think my best hope, based on what I've seen so far, would be just to get lucky with the points and have a couple of guys have really high volume scoring games, and my opponent has, like, they might have Giannis and Giannis is out for the week or something, so they lose sort of 100 points there. So that's probably my best chance. But yeah, no, look, it is always on a knife's edge, and I think if I pull up the standings here, I'm at 9-9, and that's basically where I'm going to be all year, is hovering around that 50% mark, which is usually enough to get in to the playoffs, but not always. Like, we might have, I mean, you're above me, Josh and Evan from Point Made are above me, Joel is there, Karan, Angle Fantasy are there as well. And as you be aware, this is a highly competitive league, so everyone knows what they're doing. So it could be that we have a few teams that pull ahead at the top and some really drop off at the bottom, or you just don't know. So I guess if we go back a little bit to the draft in this league. My strategy is obvious, and people know what I did. What was your strategy? I know you did. So if people want to check out the draft live and go back and have a look, you did do a live show. But what was your strategy coming into this draft?
Yeah, so if you want to check out my draft, I did it on my my YouTube channel. It's called NBA Trash Talk. My strategy was I only play auction drafts. Mm-hmm. I'm in 9 leagues this year. They're all auction. And I never really have a strategy going into an auction. I just try to find what I consider to be value based on previous drafts and, you know, my perception of players and that kind of stuff. And I ended up with Tyrese Haliburton for what I thought was a good price. And I tried to build like this last year, and it didn't quite pan out the way I wanted to. But the build is basically, it's called the centerless build, where you pretty much don't draft the center. You draft guards who are going to help you in points, free throw, threes, assists, and then are going to be decent at steals and turnovers. And that's what I think is cool about this build, is I have guys like Tyrese Haliburton, Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, Fred VanVleet are my main four guards. And those guys are notoriously low turnover players for the point guard stats that they put up. And then I just like went after other guys in the end who don't hurt your turnovers, like Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Buddy Hield, Norm Powell. Like I just have even Chris Paul. I have a really low turnover team, but I think I can compete with anybody in points, threes, free throw percentage, and assists. So there are going to be weeks where I win, like I beat you in assists and turnovers. I was actually proud of the fact I had 148 assists and like 44 turnovers or something. That's a, I think, a pretty impressive assist turnover ratio.
Yep.
In only 30 games. So I think I'm going to be able to compete in those six categories, but I'm going to probably lose in the other three. So that was the idea going into it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you could make a case that in a league like this where everyone is very competitive and knowledgeable, that it's you sort of have to ignore at least one or two categories. It's hard to have a balanced team to the point where you can win all those categories. I mean, look, as you said, I did beat you. You did beat me in points just. I said it was relatively close. But if we look at your team, I think we could probably say Tyrese Haliburton and Fred VanVleet are two obvious ones who have started the season in terms of scoring numbers. They're down from what we would expect them to be doing. So I probably did catch you on a good week in terms of points, and the fact that you rested those, like you only played 30 of the 40 games, which kept me competitive in points. If you'd played 35 games, 38 games, you would have won points by a country mile. So that was probably one of the reasons I was close. So looking at your team here, I'm just going through the roster for people that are sort of watching, they can see it, but you have got, as you said, Kyrie, Buddy Hield, Haliburton, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Norm Powell, Bobby Portis, Jordan Hawkins, Chris Paul, Fred VanVleet, Damian Lillard, Tumani Kamara, Cam Johnson, and Al Horford. In terms of, well, and then you've got Bogdan and Trey Murphy in your IR spots. In terms of who you drafted and who you've picked up off waivers, I'm assuming looking at this, you've probably picked up Kamara and Hawkins off waivers. Are they the only two?
Yeah, those are the only two. I had Julian Champagny for a minute and swapped him out, but I haven't made that many moves.
No. And I'm just curious. And I mean, Hawkins has been really good, obviously, with Pelicans, so many injuries, but Kamara is someone I've been talking about a little bit lately on my show. I've been pretty impressed with what he's doing. I mean, what have you thought about his season so far?
I mean, he's going to play a lot. He's starting in Portland. For whatever reason, they're bringing Scoot off the bench. So he's basically that replacement, obviously not position wise, but he's filling in there and he's playing the minutes. So I figured it was worth a try. This team really is really reliant on Jimmy Butler for steals. Like Jimmy and Fred are kind of the big steals guys, but I have like Damian Lillard doesn't really steal the ball a lot, and Buddy Hield usually doesn't steal the ball a lot. This year he has been, but usually doesn't. So my goal with this spot is to find somebody who's going to help me in steals, somebody who can get like 1.2 to 1.5 steals. And right now Kamara's been kind of good enough that I'm sticking with him. But that was the idea with this Kamara pickup. He doesn't really fit my team. You know, he's a bad free throw shooter. He's not going to score a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to get those steals in weeks where I feel like it's going to be close.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, free throws, you look down your sort of percentages here. He is quite comfortably the lowest at 63%, but pretty low volume as well. He's not getting to the line 10 times a night or 8 times a night or anything like that. So if we go to, where are you? Just pull up the matchups because we're obviously 2 days into the week, but we've only had 1 day of games, and you are playing Joel. So Joel is sitting at the top of the standings. You are third at the moment. So you're up against Joel at 4-4-1 at the moment. So pretty close again, and a lot of these matchups are going to be close. But I guess you've probably had a bit of a chance to look at his team and compare it to your team. So where are you sort of seeing this week going, and is there going to be any strategy like there was against me, or is this just let's roll out all of my guys and fill that games cap?
As of right now, that's the strategy. Just play all 40 games, try and pick the right guys, because we had a full slate yesterday where you had to choose players to bench. And I found this, and I'm sure many fantasy managers have found that you always get it wrong. There's always somebody on your bench who outperforms somebody in your lineup. That's the strategy. Right now we're tied in steals. Turnovers are pretty close, and field goal percentage is close. It's not something I expect to be good at generally, but there are going to be some weeks. You know, that's the thing about punting percentages, is there are going to be some weeks where your guys get hot, and they do, like maybe Damian Lillard has a game where he shoots, 12 for 17, and Halliburton finally has a good game, and now I'm looking at a chance of winning field goal percentage. So there's a chance here, but Joel's team, if you look through it, if you want to look through it real quick, it's kind of like in my view, it's kind of like a punt efficiency team. So he's basically like saying, I don't really care about field goal, free throw, or turnovers. Let's get the volume guys in there. And some weeks, I'll win one of the two efficiency categories, and that's how he's winning 7-2. Yep. He's losing turnovers and losing one of the efficiency categories. So that's generally a tough team to beat. But I think in this format where you only get 40 games, he's got a pretty deep team. So he's going to have to decide, like he benched Kobe White on Monday, and Kobe White had like 28 points or something. So he's going to have to decide to bench good players. And that's capital that he used in the draft that's just sitting on his bench. So this is going to be an interesting matchup with him.
Yeah, and I do think this is, I mean, these days don't happen too often where we have everyone active, thank God. But it is, I guess, when you talk about auction drafts in general, I know one of the strategies for a lot of people is that you basically blow all your money on your first 8 or 9 players, and then the rest are just $1 players because it's your bench and we have a games cap. And that's, I guess, on a day like this, it is a perfect scenario, because the decision on who to bench is almost made for you, because you've just got these fringe guys that are back end. But when you've got someone like a Kobe White, and you might have 12 players that are start worthy, it does make it a little bit trickier. And that's something that in my team, I certainly noticed. I had to pick. And if we go to, I just want to have a look at your team. So you had to choose who to bench as well. And obviously Jordan Hawkins, Tamani Kamara are your two waiver wire guys. So you went with them, and then Cam Johnson and Al Horford. Was there sort of, I guess if I look down the roster there, most of them are sort of, they speak for themselves in terms of you have to start these guys, except for Bobby Portis. So if Giannis had, was that a decision you made after you knew that Giannis was out yesterday?
Yeah, that's basically what that was. I knew I would get the more minutes from Portis and better scoring than Horford. They're probably like, it's probably a coin flip. If Giannis is playing, who's going to score more, Horford or Portis? But when Giannis is out, I'm definitely going to play Portis there.
Yeah. Yeah. We know what Portis does when Giannis is out. And then if we look, so, and then tomorrow, you don't really have that decision to make. It looks like you've got a basically a perfect roster. You've got 10 starters. That's what we have, isn't it? Yeah, 10 starters. So yeah. you've got 10 active players. Assuming Jordan Hawkins plays, there is obviously a few injuries coming into tomorrow. So just something before I let you go, just something you mentioned earlier in the show, that you're in 9 leagues and they're all auction leagues. How do you get enough people? Because like getting together for an auction draft is tough because it takes 2 to 3 hours, and so it's a fairly big commitment. Is that an issue for your leagues, or that sort of we're doing auction, that's it? If you can't do it, bad luck, you're not in the league kind of thing.
So I play in these actually pretty high stakes auction leagues that are run by this guy whose name is Ilias. I would actually really be interested in like interviewing him and having him on the show and just talking to him about how he does this. But he runs 20 high stakes leagues and he's in all of them. And okay. They run from like $250 to he did a $2,000 entry league this year.
Yep.
And he does auction. I think he has like half of them are auction, half of them are snake. And he just has managed to fill them up. Like he just finds people who are interested. I've been playing in his leagues for a few years and it's a lot of the same people. And then new people kind of shuffle in, some people disappear, but that's a few of the leagues. And then I also, I'm in a 20 team auction league, which is just really fun. It's just wacko. And like, there's so much luck in who you play each week that there's not as much skill in it, but it's just really fun. And then I'm also in a 16 team, 11 category league. So I'm just doing like all these crazy leagues that I've found over the years that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Those ones aren't so high stakes, but they're just more for fun. I don't run any of these.
No. Okay. All right. So you just turn up so obviously you're a fan of the auction draft as opposed to the snake draft. Is that something that you've sort of grown into over the last few years, or it's always been auction for you?
So I started playing auction in like a home league about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And I fell in love with it right away. And I've been seeking it out ever since. And I think that's kind of how I stumbled into all these high stakes leagues. I've done my auction rant on my show many times, but basically, especially this year, if you don't have the first or second pick, you can't draft Jokic. If you're in an auction league, you can get Jokic in all your leagues. So that's for me what it's all about. Like you can draft the guys you want. There's so much more fun. There's so much more strategy involved. There's just way more going on in an auction league. And you have to pay attention the whole time. And like you said, it's a lot bigger of a time commitment. I have a wife and 2 kids, and I had to let her know months in advance, like I have these 2 weekends. Like I need to be fully focused. Cause in a head to head, in a snake draft, you can kind of walk away for a couple minutes and come back. In an auction draft, you can't do that. And it's twice the amount of time. Right. So it's a big commitment, but it's my favorite thing. I think auction fantasy basketball is one of my favorite things to do. So I make sure to find the time to make it fit into my schedule.
Yeah, I certainly do prefer the auction drafts. I've managed to convert a couple of my home leagues into live auction drafts. We're actually all in the same room together doing it.
That's pretty cool.
And I think I have mentioned it to the guys for next season. We're going to potentially, if they're agreeable, turn it into a real auction where we sit and we actually bid with a paddle kind of thing and manually track it that way. So it'll probably take a whole day almost. But rather than using the system, I'll do a whiteboard or so. I don't know how I'll set it up yet, but an actual auction where people bid and $20, $25. So I don't know how that'll go, but I think it'll be fun.
Are you going to hire an auctioneer?
I wasn't going to. I should actually look in to see if I've got any friends that know anyone, like someone that would do it for like a case of beer or some beer or a bottle of rum or something like that.
Yeah. I know I maybe want to end the show, but I just wanted to ask you a question about your team that I've been wondering. Really, I think I mentioned it in my video of the draft, but the amount of I was wondering if you ever thought about trying to be decent in one more category in this league. And like, for basically what that would do is I was able to only play 30 games and beat you in four counting stat categories or three counting stat categories other than turnovers. And what being like semi-decent in another category, it would force me to play all my games and then you'd be beating me in turnovers. So did that thought ever cross your mind for this punt?
Yeah, look, it does. And there are a couple of leagues where I've got like a sixth sort of a swing category or something like that, where so I'm competitive enough that I will at least push my opponent to have to play their players, like, because if it's a volume category, they need to get guys on the floor. So, yes, it is something that I've considered. Often I get so far into my punt or so deep into it that I go into it thinking, okay, yeah, look, I do want to tentatively target points and look for some late guys that are maybe going to get me 18 or 20 points. But then I get so deep into it and I focus so much on the categories that I want to win that I forget it. But there are a couple of leagues where I have done that successfully this season. And because of it, I have had, I think, 2-6-3 victories with a build similar to this. So yeah, it is something that I've considered. And the punt that I usually do, if I had to think of one that I do more common than others, it would be the big man punt, where I just draft guards. And so I go after points, threes, assists, steals, free throws, and don't care about turnovers. And in that sort of a situation, it doesn't matter. Like, if the other person doesn't play their players, then maybe I win turnovers. So that's a little bit of works a little bit differently. Whereas in this one here, actually relying on turnovers as a category to win, as we saw, you were able to negotiate that and get me in turnovers. But I'm hoping to be a bit more on the ball, because I mean, we'll face off against each other at some point again in the season. But I'm sure that other people in the league saw what you did and we'll try the same strategy at some point as well. So
yeah,
I am going to need to be on the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe next time I play you, I'm only going to play eight guys. We'll see what happens.
Maybe. That's all you need to do, obviously, to win those categories. So no, look, that was good. It is going to be a really close competition, I think. The industry pickup last year was very competitive. I had a build similar to this. I can't think exactly what my punt build was, but I know I had Wemby and Chet and Anthony Davis last year. Yeah. I had all three, but it wasn't an auction draft. So I think I got, I'm pretty sure I had like the 11th pick, or no, maybe I had the 12th pick, and I took Anthony Davis at 12 because everyone was off him because of the injuries. And then I reached and took Wemby at 13, and then I got Chet at 30, whatever that is, 36. And I ended up having to trade Anthony Davis during the season because I was so excited to get Wemby, Chet and Anthony Davis that I didn't draft enough in terms of steals. So I actually had to trade Anthony Davis at one point to get, I think I got DeJounte Murray and someone else. I think I got three players for him or something. So, it was a really close league last year. So it is going to be close again, I think. I'll let you go, but tell people, you mentioned it at the top, but where can they find your stuff all season?
Yeah, so I'm not too big on Twitter, but I do post. Now I'm doing weekly videos on the NBA Trash Talk channel, or you can find me at Fantasy Trash Talk. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right, no worries. Thank you, for coming on. I'm not sure when we're going to release this one. Probably be tonight, my time. So it should be up in the morning when you get up. But I will let you go and do your finish your day off and get to bed. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I am Adam King. He is Jacob. This has been the Balls Deep Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us.
and for more information about joining our community, please check out our